There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's time to kick off.
20, he will score!
Tip off.
Way down to bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Happy Mother's Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wonderful Sunday morning right here in South Florida. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet over on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo with you. We got Damian Perez helping us out this week at the City Place Studios right here in downtown West Palm Beach at the City Place. We're having a good time, and it's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day for all of our mothers out there. The thing is, I haven't called my mother yet because we have a planned call a little later on. And I almost feel guilty at being 5 hours into my day, and I haven't called my mother on Mother's Day because she's up in Connecticut. I'm down here. I'm not going to see her in person. I said some things. I'm not stupid. But I haven't called her yet. We're saving that for a little later. But we got a lot to talk about next hour right here with us on ESPN 106.3, also streaming live on at ESPN West Palm on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X. We are presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store because even with some Mother's Day action, you're going to have some NBA and some NHL on the forefront. You get Cavs, Pacers, Thunder, and the Nuggets in the early slate today, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. The Nuggets, 2-1 series lead. You're going to be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action, have a little fun with it. If you're like me and all of a sudden the A's fall down 6-4 to the New York Yankees in the sixth inning at that godforsaken ballpark in Sacramento yesterday, and then they end up storming back and taking that one 11-7 in a back-and-forth battle between the Athletics and the Yankees. I was able to bet the live line. Got a good value out of it. That's what you could do over on Hard Rock Bet. Best part is you can check out the Discover page, check out what other users have put together in terms of parlays, picks, profit boosts, bonus bets, you name it, and it's easy to just tag along. That's how acclimating it is to the new player and to the experienced player. You also get $100 back in bonus bets if and when your first bet does not hit. That's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+ and physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIN. Now, the interesting thing, when I think about how these playoffs are formatted and what matters, what doesn't, the NHL, I think it's a conclusion that the idea is you just want to get into the Stanley Cup postseason. You just want to be one of the final 16. And if you're one of the final 16, you likely have as good a chance as any to go make a run. You got to get hot at the right time. It's all about winning a couple games here and there. Everything tightens up in the postseason. I think that's sort of a conclusion. NBA, while the regular season doesn't matter as much, I think there is a little bit more of an urgency to get good seeding in the playoffs. But the last couple of years especially, I don't know how much actual seeding changes the optics of the postseason, changes the chances, the likelihood for a team to move on. If we think about last year, the Dallas Mavericks made a run as the 5 seed. T-Wolves, what were they, the 3 seed last year? And then fast forward to this year, and let's think about the games that we were watching yesterday. You're watching the Minnesota Timberwolves, what were they, a 6 seed? Taking on the Golden State Warriors, who are a 7 seed in the second round of the postseason. Now, on the eastern side of things, there was a big discrepancy between the top and the bottom. But if you're in a good, deep Western Conference, these seedings don't really matter. And I say this because we have the OKC Thunder, who are 68-14, one of the best regular seasons in the history of the NBA, taking on a Nuggets team in Game 4 when Nuggets are leading 2-1, who won 50 games, good year, who have Jokic, who's probably the best player in the NBA, but who fired their coach about 3 weeks ago, fired their general manager about 3 weeks ago, and are trying to figure out this limbo of injuries, stars, the whole thing. And they're up 2-1 in the series, while the Thunder went 68-14. The Cleveland Cavaliers won 64 games. As good of a season as Cleveland has ever had. 64-18 they went. And they're down 2-1 in the series to the Indiana Pacers, who are also 50-32. The Boston Celtics, we know how good they are. We know how hard it is to repeat our defending champions. They're 61-21. They're down 2-1 in the series to the New York Knicks. Now, I don't know if the Knicks are going to be able to pull that out. But point being is you have these lower seeds, these teams that didn't put together the resume of the higher seeds in the regular season, probably don't have the star power, but are still losing. And I think you saw that last year a little bit because you had teams where it was all matchups. Other than the Celtics and the Eastern Conference, because the Eastern Conference wasn't that good, on the Western Conference specifically, and I usually use the Western Conference as my bulk of the argument because it's a little bit more even, it's a little bit more unpredictable, it's all about matchups. I don't think it has a lot to do with who's got home court advantage, because the idea is you just want to steal one of two on the road for the team with the higher seed or the team with the lower seed. If you're the Celtics in this case, you got to win both in New York. But for the Knicks, the goal was just to win one in Boston. They won two. And it makes me think, Damian, seeding in the NBA, regular season in the NBA, putting together a star-type resume a la OKC, is it losing its importance year by year with how these playoffs have been kind of unfolding the last couple of years?
Yeah, and it raises the question of, you know, the regular season. We've been talking about this for a while now. The regular season, you know, teams grind out 82 games to get that home field advantage, to get that top seed, only to get bounced out by a team with lower seeds. It just raises the question, does the regular season still hold the value that it did? And I would say no. I feel like there's a lack of consistency. That's the word. Teams will reach this high seeding, and other teams like the Denver Nuggets, who are more experienced, have kind of learned to maneuver the way around. Like you said, all they got to get one in OKC. And
you got to steal one of the first two.
And that changes the entire series. We've been saying it in the playoffs. The series really doesn't start till the first team gets that away game. And that's kind of very relevant in the NBA.
Thinking about the Thunder here. The Thunder won 68-14. I believe they won like 53 games by 10-plus or 52 games by 10-plus, which was like an NBA record. This is a team that has dominated basically everybody they have played. But in the two games that the Nuggets have won, and most of the games that the Nuggets have won this postseason, this includes against the Clippers, when it's late game, tied up, overtime, need a basket, crucial possessions, teams like the Nuggets are uniquely suited for that, while it looks like teams like the Thunder aren't. The Thunder scored, 2 points in overtime in Game 3? That's not good enough. And it makes me think, is it really just a battle to get in and get the top six seed and avoid the play-in? I understand avoiding the play-in. The play-in's a nightmare. But other than that, the whole goal is to get into the postseason and then figure it out from there. It's leaning more and more into how the Stanley Cup is organized. Even how the MLB is organized. Yeah, some teams care about getting that bye, but there's arguments to the other side of that, that when you get that bye in baseball and you don't have to play in that wild card series, that you're almost worse off because you kind of lose your mojo, you lose your momentum, you lose your rhythm a little bit.
Yeah, and we keep mentioning OKC versus Denver, but I feel like that's the perfect example. You know, you have an OKC team who was very dominant in the regular season, but they're relatively young compared to the rest of the league. And then you have a Denver team who, they've been in this position. They've won a championship before.
It's all about being there and all about doing it.
Yeah, I don't want to say they didn't prioritize the regular season, but they knew that they had all they had to do was get into the playoffs and stay healthy. That's another big one. And when you got players like Aaron Gordon, I mean, Aaron Gordon was never known as a three-point shooter, but his experience in the playoffs, his experience to manage the pressure, he's hitting some very clutch shots this playoff run. And you could say he's up there with Jamal Murray and Jokic as the third option for the Denver Nuggets.
Quick segue. Is there a better trade in the last 15 years in the NBA than the Nuggets going to get Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic? They traded Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick for Aaron Gordon, who has now been their most reliable late-game player.
And he's gone under the radar, too.
This postseason. Throughout the entire postseason. He won them Game 4, which was a crucial win against the Los Angeles Clippers when they were in danger of falling down 3-1. They would have lost the series had they not done that. And then he won them game one with the go-ahead basket with 3 seconds to go. And then down 3 points with 20 seconds to go in game three against the Thunder.
99.
He hits a crucial three. Aaron, that has been as good of a trade, I think, as there have been in the NBA in the last 15 years. Aaron Gordon, such an underrated player, such an underrated piece, good defender, versatile, plays well with everybody, easy to play with, and now has improved his shooting, as Damian alluded to. Now, I think football, the NFL, is the only league that still has this idea of everybody sort of racing for that...
The bye.
The bye. And when you're not racing for the bye, you're racing for the home game. And when you race, so that means you got to win your division. So the idea is they want to get, all right, well, we didn't get the bye, but let's win the division. Let's at least do that. There's levels of the postseason that are attainable and therefore where people are sort of racing to get to even when they've clinched. And I think that adds an element to the regular season. That's why the end of the regular season in the NFL, that's why week 18 is so interesting and so good. The NBA, on the other hand, you got to be a top 6 seed. And that's it. You know, home court might matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, Denver cared about beating Houston in game 82 of the regular season so they could clinch the 4 seed, but that was to avoid the play-in. It's very interesting to see the transition of how it's mattered then versus how it's mattered now. I think home court mattered more 5-10 years ago than it does today. And I think that might be a problem. Now, it might be a problem for the regular season. Now, for the postseason, it's interesting because the Pacers winning 2 in Cleveland to start the series is interesting. The Knicks winning 2 in Boston to start the series is interesting. Denver stealing game 1 in OKC. There's intrigue. These playoffs have been outstanding. And that has been a testament to the postseason. But is there almost an adverse effect on the regular season that now all of a sudden these guys are getting more and more of a sense that, hey, if you're OKC and you get win 68 games, nobody cares?
Well, I mean, look at what happened this playoff run. I mean, when we look at, for example, the Boston Celtics, they lost both games at home.
Right.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, they lost both games at home. And I think there's something to say about the home court advantage in the NBA being that the atmosphere is more intimate, I guess. It's more close to the game. And sometimes when you get off to a slow start, the fans get anxious, and I feel like the players feel it more on the court, whereas in the NFL, maybe you really don't feel that as much compared to the NBA.
Yeah.
Especially in towns like Boston, New York. I would even throw Cleveland in there maybe.
Right. And it's weird because these great teams who are supposed to have this ultra home court advantage.
Sometimes it works against them in a sense.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
There's almost more pressure to go 2-0 in your first 2 home games than there is for the away team to steal one.
I mean, look at Boston last night. Absolutely blew out the Knicks. Where was it? Madison Square Garden.
Right. Now, the Boston needed that. But there's almost, weirdly enough, the idea of getting the higher seed is you sort of want less pressure throughout the series. But there's almost more pressure when both teams are figuring each other out in the beginning onset of the series. I'm not saying there's a problem with this that should be changed, but this is just how it's went the last couple of years. Boston had more pressure to win the first 2 games comparatively to the Knicks winning 1 game.
Absolutely.
The Knicks had to go in and they had to play spoiler. Boston had to go in and they almost had to defend the homeland.
Yep.
Defend the home court.
Especially being defending champions.
If they dropped one, the series changes.
And you felt the pressure. You felt the pressure once those games got close.
Knicks,
it palpitated.
Yeah. Knicks get killed game 1. Doesn't matter. All right, we try again game 2.
Just need one.
And that was that's what Denver thought. Denver stole game 1. All right. Let's punt in game 2.
Yep.
Good way to put it. That's where it gets interesting. There's almost more pressure for these higher seeded teams to win these games at home on the early part of the series before there's the scouting report, before there's the feel out process, because it takes them a couple games for these offenses to figure out the opposing defenses. Defense is favored in the first part of the series because
defense picks up in the playoffs.
Right. And then, like, think about the Knicks. Boston missed threes. They got looks. But it was the defense of the Knicks at the end of the game that gave Boston issues and allowed them to steal both games.
Yep. Just ask Tatum.
Right. It was the defense of the Indiana Pacers at the end of game 2 against Cleveland Now, it was a collapse. It was an implosion from Cleveland, but they still, defensive plays, the pressure that they hadn't seen before, full court, that made differences. So it's interesting to see how one side playing spoiler almost plays in your favor. If you're a lower-seeded team, that plays in your favor.
And especially if you're a team like OKC, who dominated the regular season, won, what was it, like 65 games? 68 games in the regular season. You're almost expected to not drop any games at home in the playoffs.
Right.
And that can, in a sense, work against you, I feel like.
And then after, you beat Memphis, who was terrible. You beat them in four games. You have a week and a half off while the Denver Nuggets are playing in a seven-game brawl.
Against the Clippers, yep.
Brawl. And then all of a sudden, the Denver Nuggets have to play 2 days later while OKC is 9 days later. It makes a difference. It's weird. It's almost advantageous to be battle-tested throughout the postseason than it is to coast. Because you have to be so much better than everybody else. Boston last year, and just things firing at the right time in order for it all to work out. Were you surprised yesterday, Damian, that the Boston Celtics killed the Knicks? From start to finish,
I was
yesterday.
Not. To be honest, I
Neither
was not
was
very
I.
surprised. I kind of saw it coming. I think the Celtics were in a position where if they didn't win that game and if they didn't win in a convincing fashion, it almost would have cost them the series. And they showed up, definitely showed up. But the Knicks, then again, I feel like the Knicks still have control of this series, being up 2-1. If they get that game in New York, making the series 3-1, they go back to Boston. Now they have a kind of a window. It's not a must win in Boston. They lose that game. It's 3-2. Now they come back and finish off the series in New York. But to answer your question, I was not surprised by the result.
I thought the Knicks should have played with a little bit more urgency because that is a closeout game in their eyes. 2-1 Boston. Almost all eyes are favored on Boston now because now the Knicks have a lot of pressure to win that game 4. Now they're going to get game 6 at MSG, so they're going to have a chance to 4-7 regardless. But I'd be a little nervous if I was a Knicks
fan. Yeah, and I think the way they won also has something to do with it. If it was a close game, maybe a 5-point, 3-point game, it would have been a different feeling. But the Boston's just, it was, what was it, like 30 points, 25 points?
Yeah.
Just absolutely blew them out.
Blew them out. And they coasted. That's Damian Perez. Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. On the flip side of things, we're going to give, because we talked about how the top-seeded teams, there's no guarantee that these teams are going to play great, number one, number two, move on. Not in these playoffs. Not what Dallas Mavericks did last year. That's not what the T-Wolves did last year. The Indiana Pacers made a run last year. There's no guarantee of that. So Damian and I are going to give our top three teams we are most confident in of the remaining eight the rest of the way. Damian Perez, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Crunchwrite Zach, 15 tip scissors, can it to 300 jet F stick. X has got a quick high corner. Be ready to keep attacking.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A Mother's Day edition of Sunday Huddle right here on ESPN 106.3, presented by Hard Rock Bet. If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They're the best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call to take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo with you. Joining alongside me is Damian Perez from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, the 11th of May, 2025. Getting a little hotter in South Florida. Summer months basically upon us. I went for a run yesterday, and I underpacked water because it was after a bike ride.
You felt
I was in Jupiter, and in the heat, it was probably 88, 89 and sunny, and it was almost like a devil on your shoulder moment telling you, like,
should have brought water.
Heat stroke is coming. So I had to actually cut it short. It was that bad. Unbelievable.
Yeah, these months, they're going to get brutal. And this is just the beginning.
Lovely. This is just the beginning. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. Damian, NBA playoffs here. You got the lower seeded teams winning in three of the four series. And the other one is the Minnesota Timberwolves leading 2-1 over the seven seeded Warriors. There's eight teams remaining. I don't think there's easy answers to this. If you could choose three teams, we're going to go back and forth here, number three, number two, number one. Who do we have the most confidence in the rest of the way? Who do we have the most confidence in to complete a run? Dare I say championship contenders? We're going to start with number three. Damien, your third team most confident in the NBA playoffs is who?
My third team, Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers, they lost. I know they lost the first two games at home, but ever since switching to that zone in the third game, Indiana just couldn't answer. I think Mobley is pivotal. As long as Mobley's on the court, I think not only can he hold problems for the Pacers, but I think they match up well against the Boston Celtics with their size. So I would go with the Cleveland Cavaliers at three.
I'm going to go with the Pacers, actually. Indiana Pacers. I'm going to go with the other team there. Why do I have a ton of confidence in the Pacers? I know they didn't play well yesterday. I don't think anybody expected them to beat Cleveland in game three. But the thing about the Pacers that I'm so intrigued with is, number one, they quietly gave Boston a great run last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost in four. Three of the games were within 3 points. They blew game one. They were right there with them the entire way. Nobody gave Boston a better punch last year than the Indiana Pacers. They're back. They're deep. They play good defense. They got a lot of guys. And they come at you with waves of pressure. And the thing I like that you saw in the Bucks series was their waves and waves of guard pressure. Play, pressure, effort, energy. You need to play 48 minutes against them. That's the bottom line. I think that travels. I think that's consistent. I like the Pacers. I actually think they're going to beat Cleveland. Now, am I a little nervous after yesterday? No, because Donovan Mitchell is fantastic and just let them do their thing there. And he is such an underrated postseason player. He's one of the best players in postseason. He's a 29-point-per-game scorer in the postseason. But I like Indiana because I trust that effort. I think that effort sort of will travel. I'm not sure if they have the top-end talent enough to finish it all, but I totally think that this team is capable of getting out of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and to your point, I feel like the talented teams just hate seeing that. They hate playing a team that's just going to go all out, pressure you the entire game.
What the Knicks think they are, I think the Pacers are more of that.
They're very similar.
Yeah. I think the Pacers just give you a little bit more offensively. They hit more threes. They got a bunch of playoff risers. Haliburton might be the most clutch player in the postseason. They got two good bigs. They good defensively. And they play fast.
And to Haliburton's point, Haliburton plays his role perfectly.
Because he knows exactly what he is.
If he needs to score, he'll score. If he needs to assist, he'll assist. If he needs to play good defense, he's the most unselfish player, I think, that's left in the playoffs, that's leading a team, per se. So big credits to Haliburton, because there's been a lot of talk coming into the playoffs. I believe he was voted the most underrated player in the league.
Who's this?
Haliburton.
Haliburton, overrated.
Yes. He was the most overrated player in the league, voted by his colleagues. So,
which is funny, too. And that's why I like Haliburton, because this is the ultimate prove-you-wrong moment. While everybody else is sitting and watching, Haliburton plays a role. He's a playmaking point guard. He is not the Donovan Mitchell type of, I need to get my 30 and then I'll worry about my 5 assists. He's like, let me get my 15 assists and then I'll worry about my 20.
Right. He'll get going in clutch time.
And he's an elite clutch player. So I give, because of that, I think the Pacers are underrated. They learned how to lose a bit last year. They come at you in waves of pressure. They got a lot of guys underratedly deep. I think they're going to beat Cleveland, and I think they're going to give anybody a good punch of who they play, whether it be the Knicks or the Celtics in the next round. Damien, your second team in the NBA postseason that you're most confident in at this point?
The Timberwolves. The Minnesota Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves, their best player is obviously Anthony Edwards, and he's one of the better players in the entire league. But there's something to be said about what Julius Randle is doing. He had a triple-double in the last game. He's averaging 22 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, all while shooting 47%. So a move where it was kind of criticized when they brought in Julius Randle, is this going to be the next piece? He's kind of showing that in the playoffs he can be that second option. And he's a great compliment to Anthony Edwards, who hasn't had the best postseason up to now.
Oh, he hasn't. But he played great in the second half last night. But you're right, he hasn't necessarily found his stroke on his shot. But the thing about the T-Wolves is underratedly experienced, too. They have a lot of guys. They play deep. They can shoot threes. The thing about them is you don't necessarily know what Timberwolves team you're going to get game by game. It's almost like they play down to their opponents. Curry comes out of the game, the Timberwolves, they start playing worse.
Right. They should be blowing this Golden State team out.
Right. And it's like the Lakers, they knew the Lakers were going to be a great punch. And they had a size advantage on the Lakers, and they exposed that. Rudy Gobert had like a 27-25 game. They went after Doncic all game. Then all of a sudden you get to the Warriors, who also are tiny in terms of size, and they're not exposing that nearly as much. They're not exposing their size advantage. They're not exposing certain defensive liabilities. They're not doing that. It's weird. It's almost like they play down to their opponents. You don't know which team you're going to get. That's yours, the Timberwolves. Here's mine. Now, I'm between two here because I think the winner of this series is going to get out of the Western Conference, that Thunder-Nuggets series. And I think I'm going to go with the Nuggets. We talked about it a little earlier. The Nuggets are championship-coded. I can't believe I'm saying that because I was so down on them firing Mike Malone. I thought that was the wrong move. But with David Adelman, who is their interim coach, they've done a good job. They've won without Jokic playing fantastic. And they have a variety of surprisingly clutch players. They have a couple perimeter defenders that work. Russell Westbrook's actually a good complement off the bench. Jamal Murray, we know how good Jamal Murray is. Christian Brown has taken a good step. Aaron Gordon, one of the most underrated players in the NBA. And then you get Jokic. The winner of that series, I think, will beat the winner of the T-Wolves-Warriors. I think pretty easily, actually.
I agree.
That Thunder-Nuggets series, I think, is for a bid to the NBA Finals. Now, I'm going to go with the Nuggets there because they got the series lead, number one. And number two, I trust the best player at the end of the day, but I also trust the championship code. The Thunder got a lot riding on this series, but the Nuggets, they're so battle-tested. They've been great. They're 4-0 in games that are, you know, overtime, down to the wire. They know how to close games. That is a difference maker, especially towards the end. That is my second team. The number one team, Damian, that you are most confident in the rest of the way in the
honestly,
postseason.
Honestly, it was the Nuggets.
So you are Nuggets. So you have Thunder off your list.
I do. I think the Nuggets are going to win the series. And I have, if I were to pick a favorite to win it all, it would be the Nuggets, or at least to come out of the West. To piggyback with everything you just said, we're seeing a Jokic who's showing character. A Jokic who's usually quiet, just kind of plays the game, goes
very
home.
Very animated.
He's showing some passion, and that's something that we haven't seen from Jokic in the past. So just to see that moving forward this year kind of shows how much he wants it. And like you said, they're showing they have the experience. They have players who turn it on in the playoffs, being Jamal Murray, being Aaron Gordon, and also Michael Porter Jr., who with a sprained shoulder, he hasn't missed a game. He's playing with like it's almost like a wrap/ice pack the entire game. So just to show the grit kind of reflects how much this team wants it and how much adversity they had to deal with because they fired the coach and the GM midway through the season right before the playoffs. So just to show that they're still here, everybody counted them out once that kind of happened, to show how involved and how much Jokic wants it, I mean, why not give it to the Denver who, like you said, are battle-tested. They've been here before and they've recently won a championship.
Denver's very good at winning important games. They're very good at winning. Game one was an important game. Game three, in my eyes, was a very important game after losing by 40 points in game two. Game five against the Clippers, where they came out and they blew the doors off them, a very important game when it was tied 2-2, especially after the game winner. And then game seven, of course. The Nuggets are very good, and they didn't last year. They weren't because they lost game seven against the T-Wolves last year. They're very good at winning the important game. So I would say that makes a lot of sense. Nuggets at my two. My number one is the Celtics. Weirdly enough, I hate to go kind of chalky here. I know they're down 2-1 in the series to New York. But what I saw from the Celtics yesterday was a lot more of the same from games one and two. They just able to put it together for four quarters. Right. They could sleepwalk and beat the Knicks. They could sleepwalk and beat. The Knicks can't score with them. The Knicks, they're 30 points towards the end of the first half. Guys, the Knicks cannot keep up offensively with what the Celtics have to offer. Now, does the Celtics offense drive me crazy? Is it a little too high reward or high risk, high reward? Probably. Too many threes. But they got so many guys. They're getting a little healthier. Championship coded, as I mentioned before. It's hard to repeat. But weirdly enough, I think that Denver's the Pacers would be a great series. Denver's Cleveland would be an interesting series. I think the Celtics are the best team remaining still, just off of the upside. Now, Tatum drives me nuts. I think Mazzulla's a little overrated. But 1-9, there's not a team in the postseason that matches up to them 1-8, or the guys they play.
And I think the thing with the Celtics that we often forget is that they're relatively a young team. They're led by a Jason Tatum, who's 27. I believe Jalen Brown's somewhere around there, 28. So they're relatively a young team, and I feel like to go through the adversity that they went through with the Knicks early.
Well, they're in the postseason every year, and they lost a bunch of times. They lost to the finals. They lost to the Cavs. They lost.
And they've had some bad losses.
Yeah.
So I feel like as a young team, you kind of pick up, you learn from those losses, and I think this happening to them early off in the playoffs is a lot better than this happening to them in, for example, in the Eastern Conference Finals. It happened against the Knicks in the first two games. They've adjusted. They kind of learned not to shoot early shots in the shot clock. I think that's what was killing them in those first two games.
And they also started making their threes, too.
Yep, making the threes, which they live and die by. So I believe that that happening to them early in the playoffs in a crazy way will work as like a lesson learned kind of thing and will kind of help them moving forward in this playoff run.
I mean, my takeaway is after watching all those three games, they could sleepwalk and beat the Knicks.
I mean, they did.
They did. Like they
went up
they,
like
they
30
for,
points.
Out of the two games that we saw, the 90-something minutes we saw from both of the games, both game one and game two, which the Knicks won. The Celtics led those games by like 84 minutes. They were leading for 90% of the games. And they led for basically the entirety yesterday. They're better than the Knicks. The Knicks gave them a good punch. They're uniquely suited to match up with them in some capacity. The Celtics just have more. They got more gunpowder. A little more ammunition.
Now, to your point, there's also a big question mark now because I don't know if you saw, but Kat was kind of mentioning that he broke something in his hand.
Right.
There's been no reports about it. He's kind of brushed it off and said he'll find a way to play regardless. But I think that's something very important to keep in mind.
They're going to need greatness from Brunson and Anthony Towns. They don't get that consistently from either side. The Knicks are more reliant on a bad game from the Celtics than a good game by New York.
That's a great way to put it.
They need a bad game by Boston to be in the game. They don't need a great game by the Knicks doesn't necessarily do it.
If both teams play their best game, then the Celtics will come off on top.
Easy. Easy, too. The Knicks are relying on the Celtics to go cold. That is not a strategy for winning, in my opinion. That is not a strategy. Like, they give them problems late game when you need a bucket and it's close. Then I favor the Knicks because the Knicks got better closers. But if we're playing four quarters here, the Celtics just got a little too much. That's my number one team. Celtics, my number two team, the Nuggets, and my number three team is actually Indiana. So no one seeds for me. I'm not high in Cleveland, and I'm not high in the OKC Thunder right now. And you're on the other side. You like Cleveland as your number three.
I do like Cleveland. I think the way Cleveland is built, they can kind of bring problems for other teams in a matchup perspective with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, who's the defensive player of the year. That zone is very hard to overcome, and we saw it against the Pacers.
Where you see how the adjustment is now. How do they adjust to the adjustment? That determines a great team.
And ultimately, when you have a Donovan Mitchell who can just take over, be the best player on the court, no matter who's on the court, I think that's something to be said as well for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He's Damian Perez. I'm Colin Russo. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. We're live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got a bunch of games today, including Game 4 of the Thunder and the Nuggets, which is going to be a 3:30, an early slate today, with the second one being that Cleveland-Indiana game, which will be at 8 p.m. So a lot to look forward to. We got to make a couple picks against the spread, of course. We got the local team, the Florida Panthers, which is going to be the late game tonight against the Maple Leafs. Toronto leading 2-1 in the series. Panthers had an OT winner by Brad Marchand. They rumbled back into the game after falling down 3-1. I thought the Panthers were dead in the water down in Sunrise, Florida in Game 3, but they were able to rumble back, maybe a little momentum. We'll see how that goes. That's at 7:30. You get the Jets and the Stars at 4:30. We got a lot of picks to make. We're going to blitz the book, pick a couple teams against the spread. We'll track it all and close out the program next. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
.631 Smash, F-Track Sneak on one, alert to Smash on one, ready?
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin Russo, Damian Perez, ESPN 106.3, also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, /X at ESPN West Palm. It's a beautiful Sunday, May the 11th, 2025. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers out there. I got a call with my mother right after the program. That should be a good time. Looking forward to that. Sent a couple gifts home. So I did a good job. My mother's up in Connecticut. I'm down here. And I couldn't make it up for this because you can't, I mean, sorry, Mom. And
Professional man.
Right. And I was able to get a couple things. I don't know if the timing was right with the post office, But I left a note with them. Like, hey, can we make sure this gets there? At least, you know.
Little priority here.
Saturday would work. Can we do Sunday? I don't even know if they operate on Sundays.
I don't think they do.
Well, that's not my problem. You'll have to.
It's the intention that counts.
It's the intention. That's Damian Perez, Colin Russo. In the flip side, let's have a little fun here. Let's make a couple picks. Let's blitz a book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Damian and I are going to make a couple picks against the spread with each other or against each other. It's presented, of course, by Hard Rock Bet. Go download that app today on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started. Hard Rock's the best because it caters to two types of players. There's a big spectrum of the experienced player and the completely brand new inexperienced player. Myself, I was the inexperienced. I didn't know what I was doing with my sports book. All of a sudden, I get started on Hard Rock Bet, and I realize, hey, this interface, this app is actually really easy to use. It's really easy to navigate. I actually understand where I am, what I'm doing, what this means, and I can even check out the Discover page. I understand what profit boosts are. I understand what Battle of the Bets are. I understand promos, and I can see what other users like in terms of good parlays, and I can just tag along. That sort of got me started into the parlay game. Then as I got more experienced, I was able to put together my own parlays and do player props. I was able to do overs, unders, futures, you name it. That's all in the Hard Rock Bet app. The best part is $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That first bet could be a parlay, prop, over, you name it. They got it. It's Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Consider my gambling call 1-888-ADMIN. All right, Damian, let's have a little fun here. We got two NBA games. We're going to start there. We're going to do two of the NHL, and we're going to do one baseball. We're going to pick them against the spread, and we're going to parlay them. Let's start with the early game. Thunder Nuggets. The spread is -6.5. What say you, Damian?
I think this one, I love the Nuggets, 6.5. Home dogs, you kind of always have to back it, especially coming off such a great win. And like you said, I believe the best player on the court is Nikola Jokic.
See, the thing is, I took the Thunder in game 3, and I was wrong. Part of me wants to agree with you and take the Nuggets game 4, but I'm nervous that, you know, the pendulum's going to flip back and forth. And this might be a 7-game series.
Yeah.
So if this is a 7-game series, the Nuggets are not going up 3-1. I'm going to bet the Thunder to win. Let's hope it's close. +6.5 for the Nuggets.
Home dogs in Denver?
Right.
That's a lot of points.
Cleveland, Indiana. Cleveland is -5.5 at Indiana in game 4 today, 8 p.m. What say you?
I got to go Cleveland 5.5.
You like Cleveland?
Yeah.
Indiana +5.5. I like both the underdogs today. I should have had this perspective earlier on in the series when they were winning every game. I'm going to take Indiana here. I think that Indiana actually will take a 3-1 series lead. I do not think the Nuggets are going to take a 3-1 series lead.
This is more of a heart pick for me. I think logically, same logic that I had with the Denver Nuggets, always taking the home dog with that many points is always the smart move. But I got to go with Cleveland. I think the Cleveland will tie it up and bring the series back to Cleveland.
No home dog that we could find on the NHL side of things. Those are their two picks for the NBA. Let's move to the NHL. You get Winnipeg and Dallas today. Winnipeg and Dallas, an early game. I'm interested in this game. It's tied 1-1. Both teams are Stanley Cup good. We could take it with the puck spread at -1.5, or you could take him just to win if you want. Winnipeg is +120 to win the game, and Dallas is -140. Damian?
You know what? I'll go Dallas spread. And
you
I think... I
you like Dallas spread, okay.
In the NHL, once those games...
The empty netters.
The empty netters. That's what it is for me.
I'm going to take Winnipeg to win +120. Got decent odds there. I like Winnipeg. I do not trust Hellebuck, but I like Winnipeg. We'll see how that happens there. All right, let's go to the one down in Sunrise. Maple Leafs, Toronto Panthers, or Toronto Maple Leafs, and Florida Panthers. Game 4, Toronto leading 2-1. Great overtime winner by Brad Marchand in game 3 after a come-from-behind victory. Damian, what do you like?
Man, what a series this has been. I think all the games have been very close. You really didn't know who would win those games, but I got to go with Florida back at home.
I'm going to go Toronto with the spread. They don't need to win the game, but I think this is going to be another overtime game. They get to overtime, I'm okay.
Spread hits.
+1.5 on the puck spread, Maple Leafs. Toronto, one thing you can guarantee, Toronto's going to score. One thing you also guarantee, Panthers are going to score. Is that favoring the side of the puck spread? Probably not. But I think we're going to see another close one, perhaps in the realm of overtime.
To that point, the over-under is 3 for 3. The over, I mean.
The over. I took the over-under on 5.5. Yeah.
3 for 3. And it's been no sweat.
No sweat.
9, 7, and 9.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to go +1.5 Toronto today. I think it's Toronto's year. I've been saying this all week. Call it a gut feeling. I think the Panthers, number one, are defensively having a lot of trouble stopping them. And number two, Toronto, with Craig Berube as the new head coach, they've done a great job in sort of, they're trying to shake off that stigma about them. Everybody knows Toronto can't get it done. Everybody right. knows they're a postseason team, but they're not a postseason winner. They got to win eventually. Maybe this is the year for them. And I think the winner of this series is going to beat the winner of Carolina, Washington. I think the winner of this is going to go to the Stanley Cup final. Probably play Edmonton, if I had to guess. I'm going to take Toronto Maple Leafs +1.5. +1.5, that's what I like. All right, let's take an MLB pick. Damian, there's a couple of games today that I'm interested in. Most notably, I was all over the Athletics and the Yankees today. They're today 405. Athletics, they're +120 to win again at home. Is there a game that's screaming to you right now that you want to touch? Because for me, I don't want to make an emotional bet. I'm against the emotional bet. But part of me wants to make an emotional bet. The A's are 21-19, and they got Luis Severino on the mound, who is probably their ace. +120, I'm taking the A's today.
I got one for you.
What do you got?
San Diego Padres, who just are coming off a 21-0 win in Colorado. They got Pivetta with a 2.01 ERA, 5-1 win-loss. I got the run line for the Padres, -1.5.
You like the run line there? That's all. Okay. Wait, the run line for the Padres is -1.5?
Actually, yeah, it is -1.5, but it's only -220. So let me actually give you something.
-3.5 is 105.
I like that. -3.5.
You're betting on Colorado being that bad.
I mean, they got Marquez out there, which is a 9.9 ERA, 0-6 on the year.
They are so bad.
They're bad.
They're worse than bad. They're 6-33.
They just lost 21-0.
They're 2-17 on the road. They've given up 258 runs in the year. They're -134 differential already. They're basically 40 games.
So you heard it here. Padres, what was that? -3.5?
-3.5.
Love it.
Here's the thing about the Rockies. It's not good for baseball because you had the White Sox being laughably, impressively, historically bad last year. And then you got another team that's almost trying to one-up them. The Rockies are so bad that the pity is not even the word. What are they even doing here? They lost 23-0, 21-0 yesterday to the Padres. They ran it up on them. And I'm an A's fan. And I had to sit through some 60-win seasons.
It was like batting practice yesterday for the Padres.
This is bad.
And this is a ballpark where it's relatively easy to hit home runs. It's relatively easy to hit. It's more
and
of a hitter
pitchers
friendly.
Pitchers hate Coors Field up in Denver. Unbelievable. 6-33. The Padres have had a great year. I get it. But no team should be that bad. And the owner's not that cheap either. No, the owner's not that cheap. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. I wanted to make an emotional pick, and I like my A's against the Yankees because I think they play harder against the Yankees, and there's going to be scoring.
A's are trending up, I would say.
21-19.
Yeah.
And Aaron Judge yesterday, who, you know, 3 RBIs.
I mean,
homers.
Is he still batting a .400 average?
Yeah. Just about .400.
You think that will be the case at the end of the season?
He'll be a .350, .360 hitter, similar to last year.
It's unbelievable.
Probably be a triple crown again. That's how good he is. We're looking at that's the best hitting peak that we've seen in 20 years. I will say this every week until he goes on a slump.
And he plays in the Bronx, which is one of the hardest ballparks to hit in, or at least home runs.
Yeah. And he's a better right-handed hitter than a lot of all-time greats. He's as good of a right... he's a top three right-handed hitter of all time. That's where we're at. Hank Aaron, maybe? Aaron Judge. That's our Blitz the Buck presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, so I got a parlay cooked up here. And the odds that I got, 5-bet parlay, I got the Nuggets +6.5, the Pacers +5.5, the Jets to beat the Stars to win outright, and the Maples with the spread +1.5 at the Panthers, and the Athletics just to win today against the Yankees. I get plus 2,700 on that. I like the odds there. And a couple emotional picks there. I like the Maple Leafs. I like the Athletics. And I've been talking highly about the Pacers all show long. Watch the Pacers go out there and lose by 36. And then the Nuggets, of course. A lot of underdogs today. A lot of actually completely underdogs today. But it's an underdog Sunday. It's Mother's Day. The underdog of the family. I love that. All right, that's my parlay over on Blitz the Book.
Lock it in.
Are you a Mother's Day guy?
Oh, yeah. Be Anytime careful. We could celebrate our mothers, you got to. The creator.
Right. What about Father's Day?
Yeah, as well. Same thing. I mean, both of our parents, they've given so much to us. Anytime we can just spare them a day, why not?
My dad doesn't really care about Father's Day.
I feel like Father's Day, it's different for the father than it is for the mother.
Right. The mother wants to be celebrated, and as they should. I don't know. My dad alone, he's just like, let him go play golf. So he doesn't even need to see us.
That's what he wants. Just peace, tranquility. Yeah,
let me go play some golf. Let me go play
some
golf.
Me time.
Right.
Good old me time.
And with Mother's Day, there has to be, brunch is a big one in my family. Now, I'm not up there, so I can't do brunch today. But I'm sure every diner, within 100 miles is probably
booked.
You had
to make reservations for today.
Yeah, do they do the reservations at
places? They usually don't. They usually don't. Not for Mother's Day. It's kind of like a first come, first serve kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you got to get up at 7 a.m. and then be the first one in?
Yep.
Which is
especially
doable.
If it's a popular place.
Right. That's a Mother's Day tradition, though. Brunch, breakfast, pancakes. That's at least how my family did it. My dad, with Father's Day, forget it. It's the middle of June. Forget it. Forget it. Give him some peace and quiet. Let him go play golf. Shoot him a text. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
That's all he needs.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You're appreciated. You're celebrated. Enjoy the day. And it's May in South Florida, too, so not a lot to complain about from our end on the weather side of things. That's Damian Perez. Appreciate him keeping us up over the airwaves on ESPN 106.3. It's been Colin Russo. We'll be back at it next week, hopefully with more playoff action to break down. We'll see if the Panthers can tie up the series at 2 apiece today, 7:30 p.m. on TBS and Max against the Maple Leafs. That's been an all-time great series. But we send off, we say so long on a Mother's Day edition of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, right here on ESPN 106.3.